If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Man, that just gets you up and punches you right straight in the face, doesn't it? Man, I love that. Whether you like it or not, that rocks. Okay, here we go. Thank you very much, RJ Hinder and crew. Another fine addition. Thank you very much for sending your audience this way. I welcome everybody, good folks listening to RJ Hinder, and incorporated you in with the 2A Radio family. I'm feeling good. So, a little bit of housekeeping, guys. First of all, right here at RBN, Republic Broadcasting, we're always trying to spread the word and get the truth and the information out there to the masses. Well, we could always use a little bit of help from friends. So, for $8, $8, that's it, and it's flat fee, $8, you can get 100 generic RBN cards. I say generic because they don't have anybody's name and title on them that you can hand out. And these are good looking cards. These are not just some sort of cheap thing that came off a laser printer or bubble jet. These are very nice printed cards. Now, I come from a printing background. I was raised in a print shop. I know what good work is and I know what garbage shortcuts are. This is good looking stuff. For $8, you can get 100 of these cards to hand out. You can also, it also comes with a bumper sticker, that's included, as well as a free copy of Aaron Russo's America, From Freedom to Fascism. If you have not seen this particular video, it's a movie, it's a documentary that Aaron Russo did. It was his last project before he died of cancer. And RBN's own Dave Champion happened to be one of Aaron's consultants on this movie, because he goes into a lot of things dealing with taxes as well. It's a very, very encompassing movie. I saw this thing a couple years ago. It is great. And again, Dave Champion, he has his show here on RBN Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. He has the hour just before John Stadtmiller comes on. So he had involvement in Freedom to Fascism. And with that being said, $8 is going to get you the 100 business cards, the bumper stickers, and Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism. And you can get that one of two ways. You can either send the $8 in to 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. That's two different words. Double, then Creek, I guess three different words, then Boulevard, Suite 302. Okay? That's in Round Rock, two different words, Texas, TX, 78664. Or you can call up. You can call 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. And you can get all of this, the 100 cards, as well as the bumper sticker, as well as Aaron Russo's copy, From Freedom to Fascism, for $8. So take care of that. Got plenty of news, information, commentary, all that great stuff coming up in the rest of the show. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back, guys. So I get an email I'm going to read to you here. It says, Bill, when I listen to your show, it is only an archive because I am sleeping while your show is on and get up just in time to catch Dave's show some days. I'm hoping that Owen is the author of this. He's either a college student that picked the right courses or he just plain works graveyard shift. He says, I just heard your show where you were talking about tactical shotguns and mentioning that the 3.5-inch shell for 12-gauge had too much recoil. I would agree if you only had the factory butt pad on the shotgun. I have a Nova, a Benelli Nova, and the first thing I put in it was a put through it, pardon me, was a 3.5-inch box of shells, and was bruised for a week. The upgrade I did was the Limb Saver recoil pad or butt pad, and now I can fire the 3.5-inch shells all day long without pain. Why did you not suggest upgrading to a Limb Saver pad? Since I put it on my shotgun and tested it, I have it on every other shoulder-fired firearm on my own, except for a .22 long rifle and my AR-15. I figure that would be one of the first upgrades to do that everyone should do. Okay. That there's some words that are mixed up in that sentence, not quite right. Anyhow, the exceptions are the AKs, 22s, ARs, and other super light recoil weapons. Let people know, too, to watch for details on shotguns that many sporting goods stores will have sales on, Mossberg's 870s and Novas, so you can get a good shotgun for under $500. And many times under $400. One thing to watch on the Benelli shotguns is that the mag extension is the aftermarket item only. So far as I can find, I have yet to find a front vertical grip for their pump shotguns. I know I can get one from Mossberg, and I'm pretty sure I saw one for the 870s. Owen from Washington. Owen, let me address a few things here. We discussed 3.5-inch magnums and don't use them for home defense. That's what we're talking about. 3.5-inch magnums are designed for hunting a rather good size, like geese, something like that, some like really big ass bird, or if you're going to go deer or mule hunting, 3.5-inch buckshot really rocks. Now, what it also rocks is it rocks the body. First of all, a lot of shotguns end at 3-inch. They have either 2 3/4 or 3-inch chamber. Not all of them have a 3-inch magnum chamber, 3.5-inch magnum chamber. Pardon me. The 3.5-inch magnum chambers are specific shotguns. Some have them, some don't. Like, you have to get, like, the 870 Police Magnum in order to get the 3.5-inch magnum chamber on those 870s. There are some of these guns out there that have that. Here's the reason why. First of all, a small percentage of the 12 gauges will actually fit the 3.5-inch shells, for starters. Secondly, it's the same reason that we don't advocate carrying around a 44 Magnum Auto Mag or Smith Model 29 for self-defense. It delivers a bit much, and it shows to any police, any legal or civil liability status, that you were really set on killing this person. That's not what we do when we fire in self-defense. What is our goal, guys? What is our goal when we have to fire in self-defense? What are we trying to accomplish with that? The answer, in a word, is stop. We're trying to stop the attack, which is imminent and causes us to fear for our life or serious bodily injury to ourselves or someone right there with us. Firing 3.5-inch double-aught buck, 3.5-inch magnum double-aught buck 12-gauge rounds is more than twice as powerful as the 2 3/4-inch tactical loads that law enforcement is using, and is using quite successfully, might I add. More than double the power. I have seen 3.5-inch magnums that have 18 double-aught buck balls in them. Now, most double-aught buck, when you buy them, have 8 or 9. The 3.5-inch Magnum has 18. Now, I got to tell you, that's awesome. It really is. But as I also said in that show, shooting somebody with double-aught buck from a 12-gauge causes a whole lot more trauma and devastation than what the human body can really handle. It's overkill. It is the only gun out there with the only load out there that consistently causes traumatic trauma. I mean, just massive trauma on a human being. And everybody's good with being able to use that for a defensive load. So get away with it, all right? You also spoke a little bit, Owen, about these vertical forend grips, where instead of having your hand cupping the pump action, it's actually more vertical, like you're grabbing a stick. I suggest staying away from those, because the beauty of running a pump action is, if you're in the right position, all you have to do is bend at the elbow, okay? If you bend at the elbow with a forearm, with one of the vertical forearm grips, as you bend, your hand naturally goes up just a little bit, okay? As your hand would go up as you're running the action, you're assisting recoil coming to the rear, and when you come back down, oftentimes, that front sight is going to be lower than what you wanted. Additionally, it makes it that much more difficult to run a shot. If you're running a vertical forehand all the time, it makes it that much more difficult to run a different pump action shotgun with a standard forehand, provided that's the one you need to grab and use. Highly customizing all of your stuff to the point where it runs differently than most standard guns that are out there, I don't advise. Adding some different things on there, making it yours, that's great. Okay? But to really make it to where it's so unique that you can't really use it very well, that's different. My brother is left-handed. Like a lot of left-handed people, he does a lot of stuff right-handed. He bats right and left-handed. He golfs right-handed. He could probably golf left-handed if he tried. I don't know if he ever has. And he used to shoot right-handed, but he feels more comfortable shooting left-handed. He has an H&K USP and 40 Smith & Wesson. And that HK USP, you can modify and set up to shoot left-handed. And I let him know that. But he told me, he said, you know, I'd rather not do that because, like you've always said, if I have to pick up another gun, it's not going to be set up left-handed, I doubt. I really do. If it is, I could certainly do it. But if it's not, then I'd rather just keep it set up standard and run it the way it is. Well, damn good point. So, good at you. Now, there's another thing in here. When you were talking about the LimbSaver recoil pad, LimbSaver recoil pad is a great device, great item. I dig it a lot. However, now we're also talking about an issue with length of pull. The length of pull is the length between the trigger guard and the end of the buttstock that would go up into your shoulder pocket. Now, oftentimes, guns come from the factory, especially shotguns, with a length of pull which is way too long. Way too long. Most length of pull shotguns should be about 13 to 14 and a half inches, depending on the size of the person. 13 to 14 inches, maybe. The way to tell this, and I talked about it before, I'll do it again. Take your arm, take your shooting arm. If you're right-handed, that's your right hand. Take that arm and hold it to where your arm between the shoulder and the elbow is parallel to the ground. And your forearm and hand are pointing up towards the ceiling. And make sure that that's a good 90-degree angle at the elbow. Put the long gun in your hand and hold it to where your finger would be on the trigger. You wouldn't actually don't put your finger on the trigger, but you know, have it straight to where you're going to hold the gun. Then take your left hand or your support hand, and you're going to put it on your bicep right up into the crook where your elbow is, right at that 90-degree bend. And you're going to grab your bicep. Take the gun, and you're going to set it on top of your hand, okay, on top of your support hand that's in there. You should be able to put your hand on your bicep, then have the buttstock lay on top of that support hand as you're grabbing a hold of the gun in a firing position and maintain a 90-degree angle. In most cases, your arm's going to be a little straighter than 90 degrees because the buttstock is way too long. The LimbSaver recoil pad is very thick. All right? Add that to a stock that's already way too damn long, and you can't control the gun properly. The only time that I will have a full-length stock on a shotgun is if it's usually made of wood and I can trim it down and put the pad back on. Otherwise, I always get the youth stock because the youth stock is shorter and it works. If you can get a youth stock and put the LimbSaver on there, you are good to go if the length of pull is still right. So there's answers to your query, and I thank you very much, Owen from Washington. Hopefully you'll get up in several hours and hear all this information. All will be well. I did send Owen an email back, told him that I would discuss that on today's show. So hopefully, by sometime later this evening, by the time he's digested, our dinner, his breakfast, everything will be said and done. And Owen, you've got your response. Thanks for the email, man. Folks, stay tuned. There's more to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys, welcome back. I've had several emailers call and ask me how my hand is doing. Again, my hand, late Friday night, Saturday morning, about midnight or 12:30, the cat that we brought home from the shelter got into a tizzy fit with the dog. And when I exercised some rather poor judgment when I went to separate them and handle the cat. And as it turns out, the cat attacked my hand. And I've had a lot of pain in my life. I've had a lot of injuries. And I am now experiencing from this cat bite the worst ongoing acute pain I have ever had from any injury, including toothaches. You know what I'm talking about? My index finger on my right hand, which is also my trigger finger. It's like it's my livelihood finger. Just has constant pain in it, and especially in the knuckles and joints. It's terrible. I've been on antibiotics. The swelling has gone down. Every night, well, I shouldn't say every night, a couple of nights back and the night before that, I was doing some physical therapy with my finger, you know, trying to make a fist, trying to extend it, fingers out to the side, and it was just pain. And I would do it for about a good solid 20 to 30 minutes, really exercising this finger. And then I would experience absolutely merciless throbbing pain afterwards. And, I know I probably should have iced it afterwards. I did not. Last night, I did not do any PT with it because I wanted to get some sleep. And, laying in bed for 2 to 3 hours with throbbing finger pain is not conducive to good, solid sleep. So I didn't do anything. Anyhow, it's, every day it's getting a little bit better. I was, out with a doctor yesterday. He's not a hand specialist by any means. He's an anesthesiologist by trade. He looked at it and he said, yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. When you, if you know somebody who's in the medical profession and it's not really their specialty, you ask them a medical question about something, what you get is, a lot of answers that are completely undefined, which is what I experienced. And even though we had the discussion, I wasn't expecting a whole bunch. Because this particular doctor, his most experience with cat bites is his cats bit him a few times too. So, you know, other than that, he's like, yeah, well, you know, there are nerves in this area that could be a problem. You know, you got this, got blah, 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 blah. I am hoping I do not need to go have to be cut open for this. I have had surgery just a few times in my life, And with the exception of the LASIK surgery on my eyes and having my wisdom teeth pulled, I've done all those surgeries on myself. Like, I need to cut something out of me or something. I honest to God, guys, I don't trust modern medicine. I just don't. I'm not a fan of Ralph Nader, but when his group comes out and says blatantly that 300,000 Americans a year are killed due to medical negligence, I find that to be an absolutely unacceptable number. I don't know if there's any other thing out there, any other group, any other anything, where you have about 850 people each day, every day of the year, die from the same thing, the same cause. You know, when it's 300,000 a day, imagine what's going to happen when the Obama regime and the government take over healthcare if they pass that stupid law. You know, what's it going to be now? 500,000 a year? We're going to scoot it up to about 10,000 a day? Anyhow, so with all that said, I keep getting emails. What did you do with the cat? You know, what was the last thing the cat saw? Things like that. The cat is alive. The cat is alive. The cat is still in my house. And it's kind of funny because it was three nights ago now. It was Tuesday night. The room where the cat was, I have like a small master bedroom in the house. I got the regular master, and then we have another small master, which is where my my eldest daughter, that used to be her room before she moved into Vegas, got a job, grew up, and started doing the adult thing. So I have the cat in that room, and then in the bathroom in that little mini master's, the cat box and the food and water and all that good stuff. So anyhow, the cat's been residing in there and go in there and visit the cat a little bit. A couple nights ago, the doors cracked open, the dog went in there, the cat went berserk, and the dog ended up chasing the cat into the kitchen area somewhere. I immediately recognized what was going on, called the dog off, put the dog in my bedroom, and went looking for the cat. I didn't see the cat until yesterday evening, 48 hours after the dog had been chasing, and I'd looked everywhere. And I started reading an article online about how to find your cat when you can't find him in the house. As it turns out, I have a rather large kitchen with a rather large kitchen counter, and it goes back pretty deep in one corner. So I have my microwave set, you know, not actually in the corner. It's kind of like, you know, it's at 45 degrees to the 90 degree corner. And I'm thinking, you know what, cat could fit back there. So I slide the microwave out of the way. Sure enough, there's a cat. I hate cats on my counter because I eat food. I've prepped my food there, and the cat's digging the litter box. So anyhow, there was the cat, got the cat, put it back in the extra room. Now I know exactly where the cat is. The cat's going to go back to where I got it from. I have not killed the cat. I do not plan on committing feline homicide. As much as I would have liked to at the time, it was really my fault exercising poor judgment. But the cat and the dog don't get along. It's the truth about cat and dogs, man. Anyhow, the cat's going to go back to where it came from. That's all I got to say about that. Stay tuned, guys. I have another email to address. You're going to like this one.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
By dictators since 1917. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys. I have an email that came in, and I'd like to share this with you. It says, Mr. Carnes, which, by the way, Bill is just fine. Mr. Carnes, I am curious how you would respond if put into a similar situation I encountered earlier this year. Back in the spring, I was visited by police from a community 50 miles away and asked questions in regards to a complaint in their community. For several weeks, I had been teaching a Constitution class to our homeschool group, and I just watched a video from Regent University explaining why you should never talk to police. I've seen the same video. It's excellent. Needless to say, I told the police I did not want to talk with them. Since they had little evidence to link me to the crime, they decided, my assumption, to help the case along by making up evidence. In the end, at trial, the victim confessed she falsely identified me in the courtroom, made up evidence, and never got a look at the person involved in the case. She admitted that it was the police that put the case together for her. Now, this is a very brief, This is a very brief summary of what happened. Well, no kidding. I am told by several attorneys in the area that the prosecutors would never go after the police for their role in this miscarriage of justice. False reports by police are happening more and more as the police become more confident in their ability to lie and get away with it, something we cover here on the show on a regular basis. Do we, the people, have any recourse short of a shooting war to turn this kind of crap around? I could go after the police in a civil suit and then expose my family to the possible retaliation that would, may ensue, that could slash may ensue. With no backup, this option does not excite me very much. I'm curious to hear your thoughts since this, in my opinion, is one of the worst plagues we face in our country at this time. Thank you, David from Michigan. David, let me tell you something. Police doing this sort of thing. Now, again, full disclosure, I am a former law enforcement officer. All right, I used to be a patrol officer for Las Vegas Metro Police. With that being said, I know how to look at things from both the police side and the side I'm on now, the side you guys get to hear, the side of I am not a fan of anybody who is part of any government organization that abuses any sort of power or authority. So, police corruption is a big problem. You heard me just yesterday give you an update where I am trying to perform a citizen's arrest on a Las Vegas Metro police officer for his dangerous driving habits that I watched with my own two eyes a week ago Wednesday. And that citizen's arrest would be in the form of a citation. It would not be, okay, put this guy in cuffs, take him down to the jail. I am not opposed to that. I am not opposed to, if you have a crime above a misdemeanor, be it a gross misdemeanor or a felony, of performing a citizen's arrest on a cop and them actually going to jail and you signing all the complaints and following through. I sent an email to the sheriff's office. That went to Internal Affairs. They have opened a case. I have not yet heard back from them except for what's your address and phone number so that they can complete that on their report. So, all that being said, we will see where this goes, and I fully intend to carry through with this. Then again, I guess that my intestinal fortitude is made of a denser metal than average. Most people would never consider doing something like this. If the vast majority of Americans got together, and say, it doesn't even have to be a vast majority, if a small percentage of Americans, if 5%, you know, 3%, let's stick with the 3%ers, if 3% of the American population decided we have had it with the BS, the Bolshevik, coming out of the law enforcement community, and we're not going to stand for it, we're not going to stand for them trumping up evidence or these cops speeding through town or doing whatever the hell it is that they want, tasing 10-year-old kids, we're not going to put up with that anymore. And the citizens start doing citizen arrests on law enforcement. Now keep in mind, you just don't pull a cop out of his car and say, you're under arrest. What you've got to do is you've got to go through a system, because if you just say, all right, officer, I just witnessed you breaking four laws. For that, I am placing you under citizen's arrest. Now to do that to an on-duty police officer, it's not going to go your way. It's just not. Unless you've got a bunch of citizens around and you handle it a little differently. Go up to the cop and say, officer, we just saw you, what we believe, to violate several different laws. With that in mind, we have called on the phone and requested your supervisor come to this location. Or you just plain call the police and say, look, I just observed a cop doing a whole bunch of illegal stuff. I need to have the watch commander get a hold of this officer. This is the vehicle they're in, whatever. This is their name, whatever you can get. Say, I need to have this person contacted by the dispatcher and the watch commander and or this person's supervisor contacted so we can handle this right now. And you get this person's superiors involved before you have contact with the cop. Or even not contacting the cop at all until the superiors get there. Okay, that's the way you would handle it. If you had to handle it on the street, you couldn't let it go. For something like this, David, what you have is that you're saying that the district attorney in that area is too afraid to go after the cops. Now, cops and district attorneys work hand in hand. Okay, one's law enforcement, the other one's prosecution. They're all working to put guys behind bars. They work very, very closely together. And unless there is a really big, egregious violation, maybe where somebody got hurt or killed or, you know, a cop robbed a bank or something, they're not going to do anything. They're just not. So what you need to do is go to the state attorney general, the attorney general of your state, and you need to contact them, and you need to be as professional as you possibly can. And give them the information. First of all, you need to start it off with, look, my name, I was involved in a case, wrongfully so, to where it got so far that this case went to trial. The plaintiff in the case named me in this trial until, under oath, in court, admitted that the police had helped her and actually pushed her to trump up evidence and false testimony against me at the behest of the police department. With that being said, this sort of thing I am not going to stand for and must stop. There are criminal and civil procedures that must be followed, several of which, both criminally and civilly, were violated. I would like to pursue a case against this. It is not something that I'm going to just lie down and go to bed on. I want this handled. In addition to that, I want some guaranteed protections because of the Brotherhood of Police. I don't want any problems. I want you to be very aware of this. I want to be, basically, unless I real life go out there and break a law, unless I operate differently than the average citizen out there, I want to be left alone. And I want your office to actually provide this to me. Now, of course, they're under no obligation to have to provide you any protection. We've covered that. The Supreme Court has said so. That's the way I would handle this, David. Another thing that I would do is, I don't know how friendly you are with your neighbors, but one of the bigger movements that's been going on the last 18 months to 2 years, probably about 18 months around this country, is kind of an upgraded version of Neighborhood Watch, where people in a neighborhood, on a cul-de-sac, wherever, get together in case there is some sort of unrest within your small community area there, within your neighborhood, within your street, within your block. All right? And that unrest could be from things such as a criminal element. It could be from some form of wannabe martial law. It could be from, say, David, if the cops are going to come storm your house or screw with you guys because of trying to get them in the right. The entire neighborhood is on watch. People actually walk around, do patrols if they need to. Each neighborhood is different. And the difference with these neighborhoods are, everybody's armed, and the neighborhood goes out, and you guys train. If you have anybody in the neighborhood that's former military, that has served in infantry or anything, even small unit tactics, these are the guys to help you out with this. Or people that you work with. Hey, you know, Bob, you're in the Marine Corps? Yeah. Anybody's in the Marine Corps, their primary job is a rifleman. Whatever else they did, well, that was secondary. Now, if they happen to be force recon, even better, all right? You know somebody that was an Army Ranger, like Dave Champion. He has he hosts his show here at 3 o'clock, Monday through Friday Central. Okay, Dave Champion was a Ranger. Dave Champion understands small unit tactics, all right? Find somebody like that, and you go and you start talking to your neighbors. And you could do this over a barbecue or over a little block party or something, or even one-on-one. And start talking to them a little bit about, you know, safety and security and how the police are you know, getting thin. A lot of different police departments are laying people off. Others, they're not laying them off, but they don't have the money to hire and train new police officers. The criminal element is getting worse because of the economy. You know, really bold and brazen crimes such as home invasions are on the rise. Robberies are on the rise. This time of year is a good time to do it because this time of year you see a lot of more brazen crimes. People breaking into houses and cars and holdups when we're talking about the Christmas season. People with gifts and people not wanting to do without. So this is a great time, David, to go out and start talking to your neighbors right now, today, tonight, this weekend. Get it done. And talk with them about these sorts of things. You know, look, in some of these, not only is it just the bad guys, but, you know, there's even abuses by police and prosecution and things such as that. The thing is, the Supreme Court ruled back in the 80s that there is no responsibility for the police to have to provide police protection to any individual citizens. They just don't. They don't have to protect us and our block and our neighbors. So what we want to talk about is having our own neighborhood watch, but our own neighborhood watch to where if the police aren't going to come or the police can't come, if there's another distraction downtown and all of the cops are there, right? Maybe something's going on in this case in Michigan. You know, who knows what might go on. Maybe there's extreme weather or something that's keeping cops from coming around. That you talk to your neighbors about being able to mobilize and get together. Okay, we'll be able to actually save all of our collective families' lives together. Do you have an interest in this? Because if you don't, that's fine. We're not going to include you in the protection. But if you do, if you have an interest in this, then we'll all collectively watch each other's back. Now, if you have somebody that's unwilling to be part of this, but they're fully capable of being part of it, screw them. Leave them out. If you have somebody who's not physically able, not mentally, whatever, not capable of being part of this detail, and they're in your neighborhood, include them in the umbrella, because they can't take care of themselves. Now, quite honestly, and this may sound harsh, if the bad guys come and we can't protect everybody, the ones who can't protect themselves, you know, that's the ones the lions are going to get that gazelle. Okay, they're just going to go down. I'm sorry. It happens to be survival of the fittest. A lot of people are not going to like that. But if you've got to pick and choose who's going to be around, you know, you don't want to lay off somebody who's able to help protect everyone else in exchange for someone that you've got to protect who's unable to help themselves. Okay? So just my view on it. My view. But David, if you go around with your neighborhood and start getting this together, once you've got all this together and you've got more friends, you guys are more cooperative, you talk a little bit more, people are going out, you know, you're talking about, you know, how to protect everything around there, maybe put together something, you know, hey, we're going to go down the shooting range and, you know, tune up a little bit. Or, I know this guy that's got a radio show in Nevada that could come out here and help us out a little bit, maybe teach us a little bit of shooting or something. That'd be me. You know, I'd be happy to come out and help set these things up. You know, hey, you know, here's an idea. Once you guys get used to the idea of shooting, you know, hopefully you'll never have to use this. But if you do, let's have you ready. Let's not be surprised in the end, all right? The cops might not be able to come and help. Hell, you never know. They might be following an illegal order. They might not be here. They might be here where you don't want them, whatever it is. Let's learn. So once you start getting something like that, David, solidified in your neighborhood, in your area, it's real easy to go to the state attorney general's office and start filing complaints on the cops. Do not let this go. File a complaint against that department. File a complaint in their internal affairs. File a complaint at the state attorney general's office. File a complaint at the Justice Department. File a complaint with the chief law enforcement officer in that state. File a complaint with the state police. I know Michigan has a state police. They do tests with vehicles every year, and they publish it with everybody else. You get to drive crazy. It's great stuff. File a complaint with everybody you could possibly think of, including the governor's office, on that police department that did this. and wreak havoc with them. Then get a hold of your police department, because evidently this community you said is 50 miles away. And get a hold of them and say, somebody near the top there, and say, look, I am filing complaints on this police department over here, who once upon a time drove 50 miles to come harass me about something. Then they trumped up charges. They're released. I'm completely innocent in this whole deal. But this police department is ugly. They're not of the caliber that you guys are. And I don't think you want them around here. I don't want them coming to harass me. I have filed complaints against them. I wanted to let you know that. I'm hoping that you, you know, chief of police, sheriff, whatever it is, chief of police probably, would let their chief of police know, look, I don't want anybody from your department coming into my area without giving us a heads up well in advance, at least a day in advance, as a courtesy. And see if your chief of police will arrange that with their chief of police. So, David, that's my advice to you. That's my advice to everybody out there. So, tell the cops to stick that in their pipe and smoke it. Stay tuned. More to come, guys. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not when you belong.
All right, guys, I'm going to continue on with this police corruption thing. Another thing you can do, David, is go to ombudsmaninc.org. ombudsmaninc.org. You can just Google ombudsman. ombudsman. Now, Ombudsman International is a U.S. government oversight group. They call themselves an agency. It's not part of the U.S. government. Right? They are a private group that have put together, and they do oversight of the U.S. government. Like, they really pay attention to what's going on. And they happen to have a police corruption center, a police complaint center. So you can get a hold of them and file a complaint with them, and they will get involved. You'll actually have this good-sized group of very knowledgeable people helping you out. All right? So Ombudsman has the police complaint center. It's created by the Ombudsman General in order to focus direct attention on the ever-increasing phenomenon of police abuse and corruption. So all correspondences that regard the matter at hand, you address them to the attention of the Police Corruption Center. All right? So it's a good organization, and it's a really helpful group. I'm going to read to you just a little piece on this. It says, police corruption is a complex phenomenon which does not readily submit to simple analysis. Police corruption is a problem that has and will continue to affect us all, whether we are civilians or law enforcement officers. Police corruption is a specific form of police mistreatment that sometimes involves police corruption and generally designed to gain a financial or political benefit for a police officer or officers in exchange for not pursuing or selectively pursuing an investigation or arrest. An example of police corruption is police officers accepting bribes in exchange for not reporting organized drug or prostitution rings or other illegal activities. Police corruption has increased dramatically with the illegal cocaine trade, with officers acting alone or in groups to steal money from dealers or distribute cocaine themselves. Large groups of officers involved in police corruption have been caught in New Orleans, Washington, D.C., etc. Although improvements have been made to control police corruption, numerous opportunities exist for deviant, corrupt, practices. This opportunity to acquire power in excess of what is legally permitted, which is what we're talking about, or to misuse power, another thing we're talking about, is always considered police corruption. So keep that in mind, David. That should help you out. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Folks, thanks for spending your week with me. I'll be hosting Dave Champion Show today at 3 Central. For right now, stay tuned. Global Research Hour, followed by Ernest Hancock, coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will Your Freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.